Okay. Okay, we're on the record now. Again, my name is Richard Steves. I'm the appointed magistrate by Hernando County Value Adjustment Board for this hearing. And we were all sworn in a previous hearing, and the property appraiser is represented by Melissa Cullen and Doug Mack. And the petitioner is on the phone represented by Vincent Burnett. And again, we've all been sworn in this morning. We're all under oath. And we're going to be dealing with petition numbers 19, 20, and 21. So I'll let the property appraiser get started with their evidence. And I'll just say to start with, we can just refer back to the previous petition on the discussion regarding the COVID adjustment, okay, or the 15% adjustment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So let's see here. Okay. Which one are these? Tell me where we're going first here.
Let's start with 2021-021.
Okay.
Special master, from our perspective, we looked at it. Again, this is one operating site, so I don't know if they're going to read.
No, we have three separate petitions to present.
Yeah, they have three like last time, so we're going to just let them go through their three, and then we'll get to your combined,
right.
Okay?
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to present the first one, and then Mr. Mack will present the other two. Just let me know whenever you're ready.
I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay. So for petition 21, there is a site that has a Wells Fargo bank, a Twisty Treat restaurant, and an additional out parcel that's vacant. And it's on one parcel. If you will, turn to page 1. You can see the property record card. Page 5, you can see the Wells Fargo on the north, the Twisty Treat next to it, and the southern portion is an out parcel.
Hang on a second here. Oh, look at the wrong one here. 21, right?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Am I good?
Yes, sorry about that.
Okay, so page 5, you can see the Wells Fargo, the Twisty Treat, and the out parcel.
Okay.
Pages 7 and 8 show the two structures that are on the property. If you will turn to page 9, that's the beginning of my case synopsis. For petition 21, the parcel numbers are 29223172748000C0000. The owner is BREDDRBR Nature Coast Florida LLC. This property is located on the west side of Commercial Way, east of Wendy Court, north of Allgood Road. And it's within the Nature Coast Common Shopping Center. It has 3.26 acres. It consists of a financial institution, a fast food restaurant, and excess land. The buildings were built in 2010 and 2016. The data value is January 1st of 2021. And the just, assessed, and taxable values are $2,364,231. Beginning on page 10, I've explained how I valued this. So as I previously stated, Wells Fargo Bank and Twisty Treat are on the northern half of the site. The remaining southern portion of the site is a vacant out parcel site that is considered excess land. The owners of this are marketing this out parcel for sale. And at one time, this one parcel was two separate parcels, and in 2016, they combined them. So based on our measurements of the underlying land for the improved portion, we've estimated the Wells Fargo site, the Twisty Treat site, and the excess land site, as you can see listed. To accurately estimate the value for the subject property, the total land area was valued using the sales comparison approach. Then the Wells Fargo Bank and Twisty Treat were each valued separately using the sales comparison and income approach. Then what we did is we took the value of the excess land, the Wells Fargo property, and the Twisty Treat property, and totaled them together for a final value. And I'll go through this as quickly as I can because I know we've all been here for a while. If you go ahead and turn to page 18, you can see my comparable land sales chart. I used three sales located in Hernando County. Just to note, sale three is just next to the subject property. And I utilized sales that sold from August of 2018 up to July of 2019. I adjusted for time, location, size, and shape. And I came to a value of the out parcel site, or excuse me, the whole property of $13 per usable square foot for $1,846,416. Beginning on page 20 is my sales comparison approach for the Wells Fargo. And I've included maps and photographs referencing the comparable sales. On pages 27 and 28, you can see the improved sales chart for the Wells Fargo Bank. I used five sales located in Hillsborough, Pasco, and Hernando counties, ranging in leasable area from 2,277 square feet to 4,904 square feet, that sold from March of 2019 to December 2020. I adjusted for time, location, age, condition, quality, design, size, and land to building ratio, and it came to a price per leasable square foot of $500 for a final value of $2,018,500. I do want to note the last sentence in my narrative, the wrong value and per square foot is there, but my chart is correct. My links were disrupted, and so the wrong information went in there. Beginning on page 29 is evaluation from the sales comparison approach of the Twisty Treat. Same thing, I have maps and photos of my comparables. Following that, on page 38, you can see my improved sales chart for this Twisty Treat. I will say we had a very, very difficult time finding comps for this Twisty Treat because it is so small and unusual. There are three sales and two listings located in Hillsborough, Polk, St. Lucie, and Volusia counties, ranging in size from 411 to 1,990 square feet. The sale sold from May of 17 to September of 2020. We did make downward, conditions of sale adjustments to each of the listings. And we adjusted for time, location, age, condition, quality, design, size, and land to building ratio, and came to a value of $1,000 per leasable square foot or $558,000. Next, beginning on page 40, we have the income approach for the Wells Fargo Bank. Again, I've included maps and photographs of the comparable rentals for the bank. If you will, turn to page 47. You can see my comparable rentals chart for the Wells Fargo. I used five rentals located in Hernando, Citrus, Pasco, and Lake counties that sold from, that are listings and actual leases. The size ranged from 3,108 to 4,664 square feet. These were absolute net and triple net leases. And their initial rental rates were $1,466 up to $3,153 per square foot. On the next page, page 48, you can see that I made adjustments for the absolute net lease structures to equate them to a triple net lease. I also made adjustments for conditions of lease or time for the actual and the listings. I also considered location, age, condition, quality, design, size, and land to building ratio, and came to a rate of $32 per leasable square foot. If you will, look at page 49. This is the beginning of the income approach for the Twisty Treat. Again, I included maps and photographs of my rentals. And if you will, turn to page 57. For the Twisty Treat, you can see that I used 5 rentals located in Marion, Brevard, Orange, Hillsborough, and Osceola counties. These were all actual leases that were ranging in size from 1,090 square feet to 1,500 square feet. They were absolute net, triple net leases with lease rates from $15 to $66.57 per square foot. Again, I adjusted for expense structure and location, age, condition, quality, design, size, and land to building ratio, and came to a rate of $50 per square foot. On pages 59 through 71, I have included vacancy expense and cap rate surveys. On page 73, you can see where I have done a direct cap for the fee simple value. After totaling the rental income for the Twisty Treat and Wells Fargo and adding in reimbursement income, the total PGI estimated is at $216,886. I utilized a 5% vacancy and collection loss. After deducting the expenses at $421 a square foot from the EGI, my NOI is $186,676. I used the 7.5% cap rate and loaded it with the prior year's millage to get a value of $2,058,978. On page 74, the value of the excess land was determined to be $829,036. And after reconciling the value of the Wells Fargo and Twisty Treat from the sales comparison and income approaches, the improved portion of the property is valued at $2,162,483. Then by adding the excess land to that value, the final value for the subject is $2,991,519. And in the addendum, I have the same information as referenced in the prior petitions.
Okay. Okay. We'll move on to the next one.
Okay, next.
Number 20.
Do you want to do 20 or 19?
I don't care.
Let's do 19.
Okay.
We'll get the larger one out of the way. This is petition 21-019. If you'll turn to page 1, you'll see the property record card. It goes through page 12. Page 13 through 18 are photos and maps of the subject. On page 19 is the beginning of our case synopsis. The parcel number for this parcel is R29223172478000H00000. The owner is BRE DDRBR Nature Coast FL LLC. This property is located on the west side of Windy Court, north of Allgood. It's zoned PDPGC. It's a retail large anchored shopping center. It was built in 2009. It has 217,447 gross square feet and 202,891 leasable square feet. It has a just assessed and taxable value of $20,342,566. Beginning on page 20 through 37 are maps and photos of the comparable sales used for this plaza for the inline portion. On page 39, you'll see our comparable improved sales chart. You'll see that we use 5 sales, all located in Hernando County, with year builds from 1987 to 2015, and leasable areas from 72,567 square feet to 186,208 square feet. These sales sold from April of 2017 through October of 2020, with a price per leasable square foot between $40 and $237.71 per square foot. You'll see that we made transactional adjustments for property rights to sales 4 and 5. On page 40, we also made adjustments for market conditions or time, and secondary adjustments for location, age, condition, quality design, size, land to building ratio, and occupancy. We wound up at a $105 per leasable square foot rate for a final value of $21,303,555. And I apologize, I said that was for inline, that's for the entire center. Okay. On page 43, you'll see the comparable rentals map for the inline portion, followed by photos of those comparables. And if you'll go to page 52, you'll see our inline rentals chart where we used 4 rentals, all located in Hernando County, with year builds from 1982 to 2005. Now the first rental 4 there is multiple structures, and they actually had buildings constructed from 1982 to 2014. There are 3 actual and 1 listing. The subject had a leasable square foot between 959 and 8,700, and our comps were ranged between 1,118 and 8,500 square feet. Our rental rates, unadjusted rental rates, range between $16 and $20 per square foot. These were all triple nets, and we made a downward 5% adjustment for the condition of lease on the one listing. We made secondary adjustments for location, age, condition, quality design, size, and land to building ratio, and wound up using a rental rate of $24 per leasable square foot for areas between 865 square feet and 3,000 square feet, and $21 per square foot for those areas 3,000 square foot and larger. On page 56, we have our maps and photos through page 63 for our anchor comparable rents. And on page 65, you'll see our chart for those. We used 4 rentals located in Hernando, Pasco, Orange, and Hillsborough counties with year builds between 1982 and 2015, and they had leasable areas between 123,145 square feet and 204,876 square feet. 2 of these were listings, 2 were actuals, and they had rental rates between $9.75 per square foot and $18 per square foot. On the next page, you'll see that we made expense structure adjustment to the absolute net to bring it to a triple net basis. We made condition of lease adjustments to the two listings and time adjustments to the two actual leases. We made secondary adjustments to the location, age, condition, quality and design, size, and land to building ratio, and ended up with rental rates for the units 8,700 one square foot to 15,499 of $16.50, and for the units 15,500 square feet and up of $12. Between pages 68 and 76, we had the surveys that we had mentioned in the previous petitions. And on page 77, I've included our direct cat. You'll see that we ended up with a PGI of $3,319,970. That's including the reimbursement income added in. We had a vacancy of 5%, giving us an EGI of $3,153,972. After considering $3.24 per square foot for expenses, we ended up with a net operating income of $2,493,816. We used a 7.5% cap rate, loaded it with the millage rate of 1.57 for a 9.07% loaded cap rate, and a final value of $27,506,037, or $134.90 per square foot. The eight criteria were considered in the analysis of the subject. Therefore, as of January 1st, 2021, the value was $26,265,540. And following that are all of the property record cards for all of the comparables, the legal data, and Ms. Cullen's qualification data.
Okay.
And if you'd like to move on to petition 20.
Okay.
If you turn to page one, we have the property record card. Beginning on page five through page seven are maps and photos of the subject. And on page eight is our case synopsis. The parcel number is R29-223-17-2748-00A00-0000. It has the same owner. And this property is located on the southwest corner of Commercial Way and Pepper Street. It's zoned PDPGC. It has 1.9 usable acres of land. The structure was built in 2008 and has 15,441 gross square feet and 14,841 leasable square feet. The just, assessed, and taxable values are $2,543,982. Beginning on page nine is our sales comparison approach with maps and photos of the comparables going through page 14. On page 16, you'll see our improved sales chart, where we used three sales, all located in Hernando County, with year builds between 2005 and 2020, and leasable areas between 5,532 square feet and 28,820 square feet. These sales occurred between September of 2019 and August of 2020, with a price per leasable square foot between $192.57 and $619.13. We made transactional adjustments for property rights to all three of these sales. And on the next page, you'll see that we also made market condition or time adjustments, secondary adjustments for location, age, condition, quality and design, size, and land to building ratio. And we ended up with a leasable square foot rate at $225 for a final value of $3,339,225. Beginning on page 20, we have maps and photos of our rentals. On page 29, we have our rentals chart. You'll see that we use four rentals, all located in Hernando County. Again, with year builds from 1982 to 2005. And again, the rental four had structures built from 1982 clear to 2014. We used three actual and one listing with leasable square foot between 1,118 and 8,500 square feet. On page 30, you'll see that we made adjustments for conditions of lease for the listing and secondary adjustments for location, age, condition, quality, design, size, and land to building ratio to end up with a range between $18.40 and $27.90 per square foot. And we ended up with a final value of, we reconciled to $22 per leasable square foot for the regular retail space and $24 per square foot for the restaurant and salon spaces and $26 per leasable square foot for the dental space. By adding all the reimbursement income in with these, we ended up with a PGI of $383,865. We also included the survey data on this package. And if you'll turn to page 38, we have our direct cap. As I just said, our PGI was $383,965. We used a 5% vacancy to give us an effective gross income of $364,767. We used $3.60 per square foot for expenses, giving us an NOI of $311,320. We used a 7.5% cap rate and loaded it to use a 9.07% loaded cap rate and a final value of $3,433,770. Again, the eight criteria were considered. The value of the subject from the sales comparison approach was $3,339,225. From the income approach was $3,433,770. And since this is an income producing property, the most weight was placed on that income approach. Therefore, the final value as of January 1st, 2021 is $3,414,861. Following this is the addendum, the legal documents that we include, and Ms. Cullen's qualifications.
All right, Mr. Burnett, you can go ahead.
Yes, if you give me. I'll start with first page. We have all three parcels. We looked at all three parcels together. This is the Nature Coast Commons Shopping Center. Got one owner operator underneath one rent roll. Preliminary value is $25,250,779. We're seeking a valuation of $16,900,000. This would have to be after cost of sale and or after a COVID adjustment. But our premise is that the property exceeds just value even prior to cost of sale or any COVID adjustment if granted. If you go to page three, that way from the collective you can see where we're at. He read three different evidence and most of the stuff should be the same. You have a key number in the main center, I believe the main center, which was approximately 212,000 square feet, the Wells Fargo, and I guess the Twisty Tree, 5896, and then the out parcel building, 14,841 square feet, and showing the collective assessment of $25,250,779, and our valuation request of $16,900. And it's just for information purposes. Then we have the property cards. And we have a proxy card for each one. And I'll go straight to our performer. I won't. You already heard a conversation as it relates to COVID and the bundle of rights perspective. And we'll go straight to the performer. Our performer is on page 36 and 37. It's two pagers. And as you go to the performer, on page, let's start 37, that's where the nuts and bolts are, and putting apples, trying to put the apples with the apples. Basically, we got, looking at the center, you got anchor space. And we define the anchor space, anything from 20,000 to 40,000. I guess one anchor, we do have, at the time of it, we had vacant anchor space of 42,046 square feet. We looked at all the 20,000 square foot facilities, a little different than that 40,000. One was size due to size, and some are from what we found in the marketplace. So basically, we got the PetSmart, Ross, Best Buy, Aldi. We ran them at $11.20 a square. We have provided a rent roll. And just for comparison's sake, and you'll see it in rebuttal when we have our side-by-side, but the private appraiser, we're running those at about $12. Where we're at $11.20 gross, they're at $12 gross. Because ultimately, this case is going to boil down our interpretation of the rents in the marketplace. Different expenses like we always do, but when you're $300,000 to $400,000 apart at the EGI level, that's your case. But we got, they ran it at $12 for these spaces. The vacant anchor, we ran that due to size, it's larger. It's typically most shopping centers statewide, Publix typically take about 45,000, 40,000 square feet. And they usually rent from these anchors at 40,000 square foot level. They rent from about, you know, $8 to $12 a square, with the average being about $9.50, something of that nature. We're running at $9.70. The Wells Fargo, we're running at $37.50. I believe they're running the Wells at $32. We don't differ there. Anytime Fitness, $16.75. They're running at $21. It's only 5,300 square feet. Not the end of the world. Twisty Treat, $52. They're running at $50 gross. Not the end of the world. Tuesday Morning, I believe where we have at $16.20, they're running most of theirs at $16.50. The outparcel building, the 14,000 square foot building, I believe they're running that at $25.87 gross. We're actually higher at $29.50. So some give and take, $16.20 on $16.50, $25.87 on $29, where we're actually higher, $11.20. I think the key is, I think they're higher at every step of the way at the anchor square footage. That's the difference between the $300,000 or $400,000 at the EGI level. We run the anchors at 5%, some of these sub anchors at 7.5%. And then also on the local space, we run our local space at $32. I didn't catch their local rate, but I believe it's similar. And local is so minimal relative to the center, as we're talking about a 200,000 square foot center with 25,000 square foot local space. So if you go back to page 36, our blended vacancy and collection rate is 9.1, which I think is consistent with the marketplace. From our study from the previous case, I believe we had 92%, which would suggest an 8% vacancy in collection. Even in their data they submitted, that vacancy collection, we're not off. The COVID is what it is. This time we didn't take it from the EGI. We have it right there on the side at the 4% level, and it's discounted after capitalization. But so these numbers, as you see, are the only one that's coming off our gross potential is the 332,687 for the B and C, giving us an effective gross of $3,322,171 as opposed to their EGI of $3,724,000. Our premise is it's not the BNC. We both 8, 9, 10 in the marketplace. It's just that we feel they overvalued those anchor rents. And on the expense side, we're at $4.75 on expenses. Non-average loan, that's straight off the tax bills for the three properties, $60,503. And then the reserve at 35 cents a square, which we, I don't know, the page number may differ, but we show, I believe one was at 35 cents a square, the other was 65 cents a square for the reserve for replacement from two independent sources, PwC, I believe, and Realty Rates was the other source. Our cap rate is actually 7.25 plus mill. And I mean, we use 1.6, like I said, use 1.57. The millage difference is that really doesn't matter. I mean, $300,000 to $400,000 off at the EGI level, that's the case. But, and actually our cap rate, our overall capitalization is lower than theirs, or comparable to theirs, despite the millage difference, as we're using 7.25 on their 7.5. And we both have the same capital support by cap rate. That being said, it capitalized to a value of 22,164. The assessment is 25,250 for both parcels. But that 22,164, in essence, is 23,6. But we have a discount on lease up for that same vacant space of 1,508,396. That spills over to page, well, we have two lease ups. On page 38, we're taking $323,027 present value lease up for the local space. The local space is approximately 25,000 square foot local space, only, and we're stating that the local space will stabilize at about an 80% level. The current local space, the overall center is at 75% occupancy collectively. The local space is about 42%. And so we're saying, so this is just a lease up to take it from 42% to 80% in a stabilized manner. That lost rent is approximately $323,000 with the $16 a square for the TI, assuming this second generation, using the local rent of $32 a square. So that's 300. And then the second page, yeah, because we're using 1.5, other 1.5, approximately 1.2 is the vacant anchor. The other 300,000 was the local space. And again, we're using a 12-month lease up period, which the local space should fill up within the 12 months from January 2021 to December 31st, 2021. And we're only going from 42% to stabilize at an 80% level. Okay. Now the anchor space is all or nothing. Either somebody's there or they're not there. And what happens, again, same situation, not same situation, but when you have, it's hard to find big anchors. You know, these centers are here, you have the data, but, you know, when they go dark, you got to take time marketing, trying to secure somebody. Here we're running it at 9.7, which we determined that would be the anchor rate for a facility of 42,000 square feet. It would take about 18 months to secure a tenant and the leasing commissions associated with it. TI costs, if there are any, are 1625. That's where you get the 1.1 million. For the vacant anchor, approximately 1.2, 300,000 for the local, that gives you the 1.5. So in essence, our valuation is 23.6, less that 1.5 gets you to the 22.1, which is back on the number which indicated on 22.1, which is on page 36 of our evidence. That 22.1, if you believe in Santa Claus cost of sale, well, I do believe in it, but aside from believing, whether it's 5%, 10%, any cost of sale in that 22.1, at 15%, that gets you 18.8. And if there is any COVID adjustment, we took the 4% and capitalized that only by the cap rate. That's where the $2 million comes from for the 16.8 or the 16.9. But even prior to cost of sale, prior to any COVID, the 22.1 or 23.6. I mean, some degrees, there should be some allowance for the lost value of the lost rents. But even at that, adding the 22.1 and 1.5, that gets you 23.6, which is still beneath... illustrative of a reduction.
Mr. Burnett, the
yes,
your lease up on the local tenants shows 25,438 square feet, and then the rent roll shows 20,000. Did something change? The rent roll shows 20,640 in vacant inline space. Excluding the overstock furniture. Did something get picked up or somebody left right after the first? I'm just wondering why that's different.
Now what you say the rent roll shows what now? What was that number?
The rent roll shows 20,640 on page 45, but your
okay.
Lease up shows on page 38, 25,438. So maybe one tenant left between this time and
now, I think the, let me go to the page where our spreadsheet is designed. It shows the total local space is 25,438, right? And we got the total vacant space of 56,704. And we got vacant local of 14,658. I see what you're saying. And you're saying that the rent roll shows 20,640.
Right, I'm trying to.
Rent roll, on what page is the rent roll is that?
45, I think.
45.
8,000 plus 5,000 plus, that'd be 13,300.
If I may, it looks like they're just showing a lease up for the 9,570 on their lease up.
Okay.
But does that make better sense?
Oh, I see, because we're talking about, yeah, okay.
Right. We're showing that I guess we're showing that 14,000, I guess on page 45, there's 22,000. What does that add to?
I understand now.
Right, and we're taking it from the level that they're at, 42. It'll be stabilized at a level of about 20,000 on that 25,000, right?
All right.
So it's just showing by the end of the year, all that'll be leased up. That's what we're presuming. Or it'll be leased up or stabilized at an 80% level, right?
Okay, go ahead.
Right. And so that being said, before I get to the rent roll, we just provided a rent summary where you saw the lease ups. So going back to page 40, how do we, you know, we use 1120 for our leases, and then these are the leases, which is the weighted average of the leases that came online. Ross at 27,000 square feet, 1143. Aldi came in on 20,000, 1092. That blended rate is 1120. And that's where, like I say, that 1120, whereas the proper appraiser is at $12. The most recent lease arguments we made, we should have been maybe at 1150. Our weighted average is 1120. Proper appraisers. At best, 57 cents higher than 1143 for the most recent lease, or 80 cents higher than the weighted average. The sub-anchor space, we ran that at 1620. No, slightly different. They're at 1650. But those are sub-anchor leases as they came in. And as you see from the rent roll, as you peruse the rent roll, or reconciliate the rent roll. The out parcels, I believe they're at 32 on Wells Fargo. We're at 37, I believe. And on Twisty Creek, we ran at 52. I believe they're running at 50. So again, that's augmented by, you know, so we don't really differ at the out parcel. Our difference is right there at the anchor level. Local spaces, I believe we're running local spaces. The weighted average coming at $27.33. We're running the local spaces at $32. So we don't differ there. And $32, and we saw the lease up because at a 42 level, we run it up where we're trying to get to a stabilized level at 80% of that local space. And then you have the rent roll, which we provide. And then the overstock furniture, it bailed out the 42,000, which is, it bailed out, it pulled out in May of 2020, if I'm not mistaken. And then, so also, if you go to page 49 of our rent roll shows, well, I guess you see the vacant space, the 14,658 plus the overstock, giving a vacancy of 25% and occupancy level of 75%. Then you have the contract rent, then we have support for our anchor space. More so, I want to support the anchor space. Page 51 shows mean of average center. We're about right at 42,000. This is, again, 43,000. A lot of these are Publix anchor centers, as they're the predominant anchor for most neighborhood strip centers throughout the state. That average comes in at $9.42 a square. We're running our vacant space 42,000 square feet relative to that mean average of 43,000. 942 is the mean. We're running that space at $9.70 a square. Property appraisers are running at $12. I think that's the heart of the difference where we are at the EGI level, at $2.30 a square times 40,000 square feet. And these are Publix and Winn-Dixie centers from January 2017 to February 21. Sub-anchor space, I won't belabor. I think we're fine with that. Lease comps, we also looked at lease comps, which is page 55. These were comps within, I think they're all in Hernando County or the adjacent county. I guess that would be Pasco. On page 57, shows the summary of it, and this is supportive of our local rent. We ran it at 32. I think the rent roll shows 27 and 28, and it shows it's 1498 triple net plus the 12% vacancy as indicated by this. But we're running it at our collective centers. We're running our collective blended rate for the center is at 9% vacancy. Support for our expenses. Our expenses, it shows $4.71 on an operating level. We ran our expenses at $4.75, and also shows a tax burden of $1.67. As you have highlighted, let's say I'm just rounding $15 plus the $4.75. That makes $19.75 plus the $2 for taxes. That's like $21.75, $22. We're running our local space at $32. And then you have the respective lease comps. And where they're located at, respectively. And the subject is also on page 58, as you can see, it has a subject vacancy at 10.5. because it's not taking into consideration that 43,000 vacant space. But our actual performance, we stabilized it at a 92% occupied level, which is recapturing that lost rent. And then you have the other centers, and you see the respective vacancies and the base rents for the other properties as to how we use our $32 for our locals, for our local rents. Then I have individual breakdowns for each one of these lease comps, and I think it ends at page 87. 87 is a statewide anchor study. Again, we had provided the other ones were contract rents, where I came in at the 43,000 and the 947. These are asking rents of large anchor centers, 40,000 or more. It's a statewide study, but again, they're all supportive of our $9.47 a square. We have one in Tampa, 50, which is a more highly urban area. That one's at Tampa, 8 triple net. We're running at 970. Our agreement would be property in Tampa would be get superior higher rents than the one in Brooksville. But again, this is a statewide study. I think all supportive of our 970 growth. And I won't go through each one of them. And then the locals, then we got local sales rate cap support, which kicks in at page 114. And again, it's just support for the cap rate. I mean, it's giving us indication for cap rate support, which I don't think there should be an issue, as our cap rate is actually lower than the property appraisers at 7.25. And then at page 131, some market support, cap rate support, which is lower than the subject property appraiser. I think on page 143, however, it shows from our study, it shows the average occupancy level, 92%. Also shows average expenses before taxes and reserves at $5. I ran that REESE, which is local in nature. This is a statewide study. That came in at 471. Our performance expenses at $4.75. And that's what's, and it's for 137 centers, which had proprietary actual information for the centers. And then I'm just, you've seen them before, but just to page them for the record, 147 support for the reserves at 36 cents a square, 146 support for the reserve at 65 cents a square. We're running at 35 cents for the performer. And then support for our, where we did have lease up, we were discounted running back with a TI cost of 1625. Page 148 support of that, 148 at 1625. And go to our sales. I'm not sure we have some overlap with the sales data. I'll speak on their sales in rebuttal. But I believe, Sam, we've seen this Cortez sale in the prior case. These might be the same sale. But the subject is assessed at approximately $111 a square based upon the lease square. And we got the sales coming in approximately $50 a square. You see the respective counties where they're located at. And we're giving the greatest weight to the income approach. This comes in at $11.4 million prior to cost divided by 0.85. I guess that's $13 million, et cetera. We're not suggesting a valuation of that, but we are coming in at 22.1 based upon our income approach, which we're giving the greatest weight to. Okay. And that's all I have prior to rebuttal.
Okay. It looks like these are the same sales and the same anchor rent comparables that we spoke about before. At least most of them. So how does your income approach, Mr. Burnett, account for the excess land parcel?
Basically, we look collectively, we have, I guess, the land and building at, which parcel is the excess land? You're saying the excess land, that would be on what, the Wells Fargo Center?
That would be on that, but it's clearly a pad that can be built on.
That's embedded in the overall assessment, I guess. That pad probably could be built upon. What's that back value for that? I mean, I have to
think valued at 800,000-something. Is that right? 900,000.
For the excess, for the pad value, without doing the numbers on the spot. I mean, looking at it, our 22.1 should be 22.1 plus 900,000, 23 million. Mm-hmm. Project cost, right?
It can be built on because they also have it listed for sale, and it was 829,000 and change.
Right, so I just rounded to 900. So to answer your question, Looked like we did not add that back in. So as you go to our performance where we're at 22.1 prior to cost of sale or any COVID adjustment or stopping at the 22.1, yeah, that 22.1 should be 23 million. Or we're at 23.6 and before any lease up, then that 23.6 plus 900 should be 24.5. Still would be supportive of a reduction, but in candidacy, right off the top of my head without crunching numbers, you're smarter than me, Mr. Steve, but yeah, that should be added back.
All right.
Just as we have less for the discount, it's just going to be plus the buildable parcel or the buildable pad.
Yeah, okay. What's the listing price on the pad?
Can't find that out either.
Really? Okay. All right, go ahead, guys.
I'm going to speak very briefly and then Doug. I just want to know if the petitioner's ever been to Hernando County or either of these properties.
Well, first of all, I don't think that's relevant. Secondly, in rebuttal, I think you're rebutting my evidence, not necessarily directly asking me questions. But if Special Master wants to ask me, he can answer it. But I will answer it. But in general, rebuttal is directly at my evidence and the evidence that I presented because it's an evidentiary hearing.
So then you haven't been to the property.
But the answer is, without speculating, the answer is, it doesn't matter. But the answer is, yes, I have been there, just for the record. Yes, I was there in a hearing right there in the courthouse, caught a flight to Tampa, drove through Pasco on that expressway.
And it's kind of like ago?
In between Mayberry and Austin. So, yes, I have been to seeing this property, and yes, I have been to Hernando County. But
three
the relevance of that
ago?
In your rebuttal was not really.
How long ago, Vincent? That's all I'm asking.
But the answer is, Special Master, I don't know the relevance of that. Just your rebuttal is your rebuttal.
Yeah, go ahead, guys.
Okay, go ahead, Doug.
Mr. Magistrate, I'll make this as quick as I can. As you said before, most everything is very similar to the previous packet. I only have two things I would like to mention, and that's on one of the different comps that was used in this packet on their pages 112 and 113. This particular listing states low-cam and free rent. And then the only other thing I wanted to bring up was on page 58 of this packet, because a couple of the comps are different. The first one listed is the subject, and then on the others, there are no Hernando County comps and no adjustments were made to those as well. And that's all I have. Everything else is the same rebuttal that I used in the previous packets.
Okay. Okay, anything from you, Ms. Cullen, before I let him get back? Okay. Mr. Burnett, you can go ahead with your rebuttal. I have the side-by-side here if you want to.
Yeah, I think actually I have the side-by-side. It's kind of like, and I kind of mentioned it on page 37 of my evidence, of my original evidence, and you have a side-by-side. But right there you see, in black and white, they're at $3,724,780. We're at $3,322,211. We're $400,000 off. With $300 off at the PGI level, gets to be $400,000 as we're using what I thought is a market-driven vacancy rate of about 8 to 9%. My reshow is 12%. I believe even in their own data, I'm trying to see what page of their data it shows. Page 68 of their data, it would be page 73 of the PDF file, because I think there's a five-page difference. Of the evidence, and I'm with the main evidence of the evidence 19. It shows a vacancy rate of 9.3 in the Tampa Bay area for anchor as well as unanchored. And obviously, we know this one's anchored. And so they're using 5%. I'm using 9, which is consistent with their on page 68 of their evidence. I don't know if you have a PDF, Special Master?
I have a hard copy, but I'm trying to find it to see.
Yeah, it would be page 68.
Yeah, I'm there now. The vacancy
survey. And they have it right there. You know, if their evidence shows 9.3, so I don't know why they're using 5%. You know, so that's one reason why their EDI would be slightly overvalued. You know, it's inconsistent with their own data, which I think we came in at 92% from our study. The recent analysis shows 12%. The subject is at 75%. So I think they're just very aggressive at the EDI level. Secondly, when you look at page 30, they're $300,000, right, from the PGI. Then they pick up another with $400,000 at the EGI level. And then, so if you dig a little deeper, my argument would be, I provided the rent roll. The recent lease was $1,143. That weighted average is $1,120. How do you go from $1,143, $1,120 to $12. She's picking up 50 cents on about 60,000 square feet. 50 cents is 50 cents. Again, that's how the EGI gets overstated, and that's how their PGI gets overstated. Also, I got my anchor lease comps. They got their anchor lease comps. We do know the 42,000 square feet is vacant. Publix is coming in around. You saw whether from my Publix Winn-Dixie study and some of my other sources and of my anchor lease comps at 947 on 40,000 square feet. It seems like I'm looking at it right there. What they did looked like they ran everything over 15,000, if I'm not mistaken, at the base rate of $12. And then some of the other ones, I think they went 1675, 1650. But again, the 12 should be 1125 or 1150, shouldn't be 12. And then there's a delineation with economies of scale and just in general. 40,000 square feet should be coming in, I say 970, 10, shouldn't be 12. Because that's clearly would be the anchor, and that's the one that they're struggling with. And it's been gone since May of 20, and they haven't been able to lease it up. And if you got something empty and you're trying to lease it up, the goal is not to act above market prices. It always will stay empty. And then just the other elements of, as you go through our performance, we differ on expenses. I try to justify. I think we're at 475. My re shows 471. My statewide study shows $5. School of thought. But again, any investor going to see that income stream, going to see that non-ad valorem, going to see that tax bill. They're going to incorporate that into their financial analysis for the acquisition of this property. If you're talking to willing buyer, willing seller on a given date, 1/1/21. So that's 60,503. I didn't make the number up. That's straight from the tax bill, and that money not goes for management operation, goes to a government taxing entity. They don't control it regardless of the value, but therefore it needs to be line item expense and incorporated. And then I think we document our reserves at the 35 cents level. Cap rate, we don't differ at the cap rate. So ultimately, I would say if I had to do a valid question you asked me, that 1.5 where we discounted the numbers from the vacant space and stabilizing the local space to get to the 90% occupancy level from our current 75% level, that gives you a value, I believe, adding 1.5 and 22.1, that's 23.6. Add 900,000 to that, should be add back 24.5 on a 25.2 assessment before cost of sale or any COVID or any whatever the case may be. Or 22 million at 22.1, make it simple, 22.1 at 900,000, $23 million. That's probably where we should be at. But on the opposite of that, the proper appraisers did not delineate anything over 20,000. They ran them all at 12 bucks, didn't delineate the anchor space. Obviously, they didn't recognize the problem this one's having or trying to secure lease up that 40,000. Not as bad as the other one where we're talking 80,000, but still, they're not recognizing that. And then it looks like their lease comps, I guess you kind of get them where you get them. Hernando, small county, but I believe all their big box listings, I think they had two listings, two actual leases. And looks like it runs from page 55 to 67. And it looked like, I think two were in Hernando. Well, I guess one in each county, Hernando, Pasco, Orange, and Hillsborough. Without looking at the map, page 56, you can see where their rental comps are located at. Looked like one of them went all the way up. Orange County, all the way in Orange, right on the Olivea Trail in Orange County, their rental comp number 3 for Big Box. So I think they went to, I would argue, superior location with higher rents to justify, the premium going from $11.20 to $12, but certainly what I would say from $9.50 to $12 for that 40,000 anchor space, if you look at their evidence where they got their anchor lease comps from. And look at their sales. Sales are an indication of value. But at least, if you look at page 39 of the evidence, I'm speaking more so all from evidence 19, because that's what it's agenda number 19. Page 39, if you have a hard copy, it says 39. I'm looking at the PDF, I believe it would be 44. But page 39, look like we got two sales. The South Square, I'm not sure if there's overlap with our sales, but the South Square Center, that one comes in, sold in October 20 at $40 a square. And after I guess they're making time adjustment. I'm not sure what adjustment they're making. $40 square, risk that's at $111 square. Their sale number 2 comes in. They have $86 after adjustment, $86. That was March 2020. And we're at $111 square on the center. And then sale number 3, 110, that's a Walgreens, 110 with 111. And sale number 4, $91. After adjustment comes to $68. We're at $111. So seems like three out of four of this, well, all 40 sales, at least three out of the four are clearly supportive of a reduction. And two of the four are talking larger centers because their sale number one and sale number four are 152. Lease wear 141,000, lease wear 186,000, which would be comparable to our lease wear of 226,000. Those are clearly supportive at $68 a square and $40 a square, where we're at $111 a square. So again, their sales data seems supportive of reduction or supportive of our request. Their vacancy and collections analysis on that page 68 is supportive of our vacancy and collection at 9 rather opposed to their 5%. Their big box anchor is inconsistent with the actual performance of the property relative to the rent roll or what we find with the local area as they go to superior areas. So I think they're just flaws all over the place with their income approach and even their sales approach is consistent with our reduction request. And no consideration for the vacant space in terms of the lease up, et cetera. And even after making the adjustment with the add back of the out parcel, it still would be supportive of a reduction.
All right. You guys have any comments? It looked like maybe.
No, we do not.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I think we can conclude the hearing and thank you for joining us.
All right. You have a great day, Mr. Steve, and you too. I'm not even catch the names, but.
Yes, thank you. You too.
Melissa and Doug?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. You too.
Okay. And I didn't mean to be contentious. I just, you know, get hot up in the back. Actually, I had a good time driving up when I went up there. They still had a hearing in the courthouse?
Yes, and no worries. It's just business.
Okay. All right. Y'all take care. Have a great day.
You
Enjoy
too.
Your weekend. All right.